We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
And now, from the WILK studios in Northeast Pennsylvania, a man whose voice unfairly sets people up for visual disappointment. This is the Jason Barsky Show.
So I'm hoping this doesn't get weird. I have multiple emails that say, hey, Dennis Miller's calling in. Dennis Miller. Yeah, he's on tour with Mark Stein. Dennis Miller, one of my first favorite comedians. I think the first live comedian I ever saw in person. So I was very excited to do this interview. Not that I'm not excited to talk to this person, but while I'm awaiting this phone call, something changed. And we have Mark Stein on the phone. Now, I didn't prepare for a Mark Stein interview. Let's just throw that out there. Is this Mark Stein?
Yes, it is.
Mark, I was told I was talking to Dennis Miller today.
I thought you were talking to both of us.
Are you both there?
I think Dennis is supposed to be.
Oh, well, not yet. Interesting. Well, I'm glad to have you
here. That's what I've got, but I may be... Let me just check. No, that's... It's me and Dennis.
Well, look,
with you.
Let me just say this. I've been a fan of Dennis, but let's just say, hey, maybe we only talk to the top of the bill. You can interpret that how you want. I'm just...
Yeah.
By the way, if Dennis Miller does join us at any time, that never happened. That was never...
Yeah, no.
So, tell me this. How did this show come together? Adorable, deplorable. Is it supposed to be one of you is one and the other's the other? And if so, who's adorable, who's deplorable? That was a question one of my listeners specifically told me I had to ask you. And I thought it was a throwaway question, but now that it's out there.
Dennis should take the credit for that. The idea, I think, was that we were both supposed to be simultaneously adorable and deplorable, but everyone is like your listener, and they seem to think that one of us is adorable and one is deplorable, and that on the whole, Dennis is the adorable one. So that's typecasting, and I got to live with it.
Mark Stein, surprisingly joining me. This is nice. You know, I've seen you on Fox News before. Politically, I don't think we agree on a lot of stuff, but you have strong opinions. You fill in for Rush Limbaugh from time to time, something they'd never ask me to do. So
well, that may be something to do with the political disagreements, but don't let that get to you.
In all honesty, wouldn't it be a hoot if one day I just showed up on Rush's show? That would make national headlines. I mean, you don't even know who I am, first of all, but over the summer, this past summer, I filled in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, on the same station where Ken Matthews works. Ken Matthews, right. One of the fill-ins for Rush. So right. By one degree of separation, I could be that guy. So we could make it work, but this is not...
No. You only have to... It's simpler than that. All you have to do next time you're in Harrisburg with Ken, you just slip something... into his decaf macchiato, an industrial strength laxative, and boom, you're the guy. One of the first times I filled in for Rush, I did it from a station in New London, New Hampshire, and the morning man was basically breathing down my neck for the whole 3 hours because he was like you with Ked. He was assuming I was about that in the event that I had like a massive stroke and keeled over, he would be there to fill in, and it was. I was off my game that day. Nobody likes it when the next guy in line won't leave the room and he's waiting for you to drop dead.
Now, what happened to that other guy? Any idea?
Well, he's now the Secretary of the Treasury. What can I tell you?
How about that? You know, he said a couple nice things about the president. Boom, you get that big job. Not that it's a good source, because it's not. I could go in there and say that you collect wolf memorabilia, but Wikipedia describes you as a cultural commentator.
I'm never, and I know there are people who are, I'm never interested in the horse race aspect of politics, because I live in northern New Hampshire, so it means I never get any normal TV ads for 3 out of every 4 years. We're just getting ludicrous, instantly forgettable candidates rammed down our throats every 10 minutes on television. And I think all the years I've lived in New Hampshire, all the next president in waiting over the years, I've been less and less interested in politicians and more interested in the big stuff. You know, I mean, if you look at little things that don't seem important to Republicans or conservatives, like transgender bathrooms, who cares? Well, what's happening there is that somebody has decided where redefining the two sexes. That's huge. And whether Phil Gramm is 2 points ahead or Lamar Alexander is 2 points ahead in some swing district in Ohio is a lot less important than redefining all the big stuff.
And my take on the bathroom thing is, I think the last place I'd feel nervous for my own safety would be in a bathroom. My feelings in the bathrooms are very similar to back in the day when people who were a little homophobic would see someone who's gay and go, I'm afraid he's going to want to, you know, do something. It's like, you know what I've learned over the years? Here's a simple rule for anybody who's a straight guy who gets uncomfortable around gay men. Here it is. You're the last person they want to touch.
I don't know about that. Actually, because in my cultural tradition, I spent a lot of my youthful years in London, and in the gentleman's toilet at Piccadilly Circus, the place was always crawling with incredibly unconvincing metropolitan police officers.
Don't get me wrong, you picked the wrong bathroom in any city, and you're gonna, you know, that was the George Michael
thing. They were always like, so you would be with metropolitan police officers badly dressed up as the village people in like white polo neck sweaters with their policeman's boots sticking out the bottom of the track. And so now you bring it up, maybe those formative years have made me just more fretful about public bathrooms.
You wore the Navy uniform every time you went to the bathroom, so that I think it drew unnecessary attention on you, probably.
That's true.
In retrospect, I dressed like the Indian. Oh, I got a couple phone numbers. I mean, sometimes you bring this stuff on yourself, but I was actually separating the bathroom thing more of just guys who go out and they see a guy and they go, hey, that guy's gay. And the guys get homophobic and say things like, he's going to come over here and want to touch me. He said, no, he doesn't want to touch you. You're a disgusting man. And that's usually, we're gross, kind of. Straight men typically are gross. And I praise women for even dealing with us.
That's true. And actually, I will say this, because I'm taking a stroll down memory lane today. But in my even more formative years, when I was a young lad padding down Yonge Street in Toronto, I noticed that once I sort of let myself go and I was out of shape and all the rest of it, the gay guys gave up on me a long time before the women did. So in that sense, heterosexual guys should be grateful that women apparently have much lower standards, at least in my experience.
Again, I expected Dennis Miller on the phone. I was nervous because I see your conservative views on TV, and I disagree with different things, but I like the fact that we can coexist in this world and without yelling at each other. And, you know, I didn't say I have different political views and you didn't jump right down my throat and go, tell me where I'm wrong. And it wasn't confrontational. And that's kind of how I imagine every conversation I would ever have with Rush Limbaugh being. But that probably isn't the case either.
The thing about it, actually, Rush is a pussycat. That's one of the interesting things about him. He's actually the sweetest guy. You know, in the scheme of things, politically different people within advanced societies don't realize this, but that both of us share a lot of common ground on the core aspects of the society we want to live in. And I know the difference between someone I've got a disagreement with on federal funding for whatever and someone who's my sworn enemy and wants to kill me. And I think it's important to understand the difference. The political dispute, and I think that's to do with the professionalization of politics. And if you have 2-year presidential election cycles, you have longer and more vicious disputes over smaller and smaller things. So that's one of the downsides of the professionalization of politics.
Yeah, I will say, I think when you start having news for profit, that changes things a little bit. When you're trying to, you know, when you have controversial things on TV versus just bland, there's a reason NPR is not making a ton of money on advertising. If I had to guess, I don't think their rates are up there with the Super Bowl or even close to my show, and that's rock bottom. So that wasn't a joke, actually. I mean, that laugh is
no,
just...
No, I didn't.
That was a cry for help, actually.
I can't stand the pretend ads on NPR.
Those are great.
Know, where I'd rather have a good, whole, honest, straightforward My Pillow guy than the sort of pretend non-ad advertising at NPR. That's one of those things that irritates me.
I'm not saying my show is weak, but the My Pillow guy doesn't even call me. Like, I can't even get him to support the show here. I would love a pillow, his pillow, my, but the NPR thing is funny because it's always underwritten by Women Against Beef. And you're like, oh, yeah. Okay, yeah.
It's underwritten by guys who made a ton of money and were conservative a century ago. And for some reason, their foundations, with their grandchildren on the board, have become incredibly liberal. I don't like that whole foundation underwriting. I don't like the whole underwriting concept anyway. I don't even know what that means.
It's just a snooty way to say sponsored by. Your show's coming up. Dennis Miller standing me up today. I'll never forgive him. I mean.
Dennis is like one of these temperamental pop stars. He does this all the time. He'll just be in his dressing room. He'll come on 48 minutes late. He'll do the first joke and stop just shy of the punchline, and then he'll just walk off the stage as everyone just boos and throws vegetables. It's terrible. I mean, I don't know what you can do about it.
It does say here it's the Adorable Deplorable Tour, one night only, Saturday, March 2nd, FM Kirby Center. Dennis Miller, Mark Stein, bring cabbage to throw at Dennis. It's in the press release. If you haven't seen it, it's
bring organic cabbage. bring kale. Actually, nobody likes kale. It's in everything now, and nobody likes it.
Great talking to you. This was a nice surprise, you know, and I really appreciate it. And I'm going to try to make it out to the show here. Depending on the minute of the day or what I say, some people are like, "Oh, you're becoming more conservative every day," and then other people go, "Oh, you're a crazy liberal," and they turn off the show. So I don't know if I'm welcome there. But I want to check out the show.
Well, no, you see both sides of it. That thing you were doing on yesterday's show, where the guy asked you, "What if you were stabbed? Would you try to stop the bleeding? Would you clean up the cushion you were bleeding over?" And I love the way you saw, like, he put it as an either-or thing, but you, like, saw 27 potential responses to you being stabbed. And I thought that was interesting. I like the way even as your listener was fantasizing about somebody plunging the dagger into you, you could see it from 27 different guys' perspective. I thought that was good.
Thank you. That's very kind of you. And, God, I'm definitely going to the show. Tickets. I just want to say thank you. That was the kindest thing.
I enjoyed that. Actually, I wasn't sure. I never really think beyond the obvious. I would just go, "Oh my God, I've been stabbed," and clutch my stomach. But you had this kind of Rashomon approach to it, where you were looking at it from all these different angles. I thought that was good.
This was great. Tickets are available. You should go check out this show. There's not a lot of even slightly conservative-leaning comedy shows out there. So if you're fed up with the world of comedy being so liberal and crazy, go see the show. Dennis Miller, Mark Stein. Hey, look, I expected Dennis. I got Mark Stein, and this has been an absolute pleasure. Absolute pleasure.
It's been fun for me, too. And we will get Dennis on your show. Don't worry. I don't know where he is. He's sleeping in. He's on Beverly Hills time. You know how debauched and decadent they are out there. But we will definitely get him on your show.
Great talking to you. And again, March 2nd, Saturday night, tickets still available. Go to FM Kirby Center's website. Hey, great talking to you. Thank you very much for the kind words. I do appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Jason. Enjoyed it.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today. Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.